does the Bible and science conflict? I don't think there is a conflict between the Bible and science. Somebody says, really? I don't. I think there's a conflict between the Bible and scientific theory. So what's a theory? The Bible and science. And this ought to be interesting. We're going to ask some questions, hopefully provocative questions, that will get you thinking about the Bible and science. All of us went to school. All of us took science classes. We were all taught various things throughout our academic tenure that science said. We're going to see how valid some of that is. So we'll take a look at some of that as we go through the morning. But before we begin, if you bow with me, let's begin with a prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for today and the opportunity that we have to study your word. We pray, Father, that you'll help us understand it, that you'll help us apply it to our lives, and that it will impact how we live our lives, and help us always to live our lives more like Jesus every day. Forgive us when we sin and we fall short of that. Give us the strength to overcome temptation. Also give us the will to help those who are less fortunate than us. Be with us throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to begin. Richard has a microphone back there, so if you have a comment, I'm going to start with a question. Hopefully somebody will have some comments about this question. But it's hopefully a provocative question that'll make you think a little bit. Is it necessary for us as Christians to be opposed to science? What should that relationship be between those of us who are Christians and what we hear the scientific community tell us? Any thoughts about that? Starting out with a difficult question.
Many science endeavors have proved facts about the Bible to be true, where the Bible states certain things. Science has proved them to be true, such as paths in the ocean and things like this. And so we can't oppose science. It's just, you know, it goes astray sometimes.
Okay. Ryan had a comment.
I can't remember for sure, but the word science, the meaning of the word, has something to do with the pursuit of knowledge, maybe.
Okay.
And as long as we as Christians can find that science is agreeing with what God says, there's no problem, and I think we need to pursue the answer to these things that they come up with.
Okay.
But, right. You know, to be aware and to be ready to answer with God's word.
Okay. Got another.
Science changes.
Ah.
The Bible does not change.
So the comment was, you didn't hear that. Science changes. The Bible doesn't change. We're going to come back to that. It's a very, very good point to think about. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Daniel Lambert who has written on this topic for a number of years, and he said, science is like fire, an excellent servant, but a devastating master. Now, that was an interesting way to put that. That science is like fire, an excellent servant. We can use science. Science helps us, but a devastating master. If we take what is known today and say science, that's absolute truth, it's going to change. And tomorrow, metaphorically, not tomorrow literally, but down the line, probably not going to be as true as we think it is today. So the third question there, he says, does the Bible and science conflict? I don't think there is a conflict between the Bible and science. Somebody says, really? I don't. I think there's a conflict between the Bible and scientific theory. So what's a theory?
Unproven fact.
Pardon?
It's an unproven fact.
Unproven fact, okay. Somebody has an opinion about something. They think something works a certain way. But not necessarily visually proven. Haven't been able to see that. If you think about some of the scientific theories that have existed through the years, there has been some conflict between biblical teachings and scientific theories. And if you think about some of those things, we talked about this several weeks ago. At one point in time, science taught that the world was flat. What happens when you got to the edge? You just drop off. And so explorers didn't go out far into the ocean because they didn't know what was out there. You're talking about now, not long ago. I mean, literally, if you think about the history of the world, only about 500 years ago, people were beginning to reach out, to go out farther into the ocean to see what's out there. If you remember your history, when Columbus discovered America, what did he think he had discovered?
India.
You remember that?
India.
Yeah. He thought at that time that the world was round, but he didn't know that there was this whole North American continent between him and where he thought he was going. And so that whole concept, if you look at some of the theories that occurred during that period of time, the world was riding on the back of a turtle. Or the mythological people said the world is sitting on the shoulder of Atlas.
One of the issues that we have is that when the scientists talk about their theories, they don't talk about them like their theories. They use phrases like, we now know that the Earth is this many years old, for example. Whereas 20 years ago, they said, we now know something that conflicted with what they know now, and yet they still state it as if it is complete knowledge of fact rather than a theory.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what causes that. When they write their scientific treatises, their papers, and present them, it used to be that there was a sense of humility in that. We're discovering these things. We're learning these things. We think this is true now. We think this is true. Now it's stated like it's a matter of fact, that I've found everything there is to know about this, and this is the truth. And that bothers me, that we base decisions. Got a question, comment in the back here. That bothers me that we base a lot of our decisions on fact these days. That's not necessarily fact.
Back in Ohio, we used to have one of our elders, and he used to be big into science. And he taught an entire class, and basically it was about, if Christians don't start accepting some things that have been, air quote, proven through science, then we look ridiculous. We look dumb. We're uneducated. And, you know, he would use the scripture, you know, a day to God is like 1,000 years or whatever, and use that to go towards creation and evolution, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's, I never want to change the Bible to fit what man says. I don't think that's right, you know? But we did have a lectureship, a scientist actually come in, and he started out as an atheist. And he was a scientist, he was an atheist, and he was having arguments with Christians. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to study the Bible, and I'm going to use the Bible against Christians. And so he started looking at it from a scientific level and ended up becoming a Christian because of it. And he taught a four-day lectureship on all the hidden scriptures in the Bible that actually had been proven to be correct. You know, and how people just, when they read the Bible, they skip over these things.
Yeah.
Okay? And it was really, really interesting. So,
thank you. Yeah, that the way it's said, it sounds really interesting, and we don't think about that. That's kind of more poetic. If you find it in Psalms, you know, it's poetry. It's a song of some type, and we just kind of skip over that and talk about the beauty of it. But the meaning.
God had told the Israelites, you know, one of the scriptures was basically, if you have to go to the bathroom, don't do it in your camp. Go outside the camp, go dig a hole and bury it. Okay? It sounds like nowadays that's common sense. That would be common sense. But, you know, look at medieval times, how many people died of dysentery.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know such basic things. And this is way before medieval times. And God's giving them a fact that would keep them healthy. A fact that those people way back then would have no idea about.
Yeah, we're going to look at a few of and those so, here in just in the next few minutes.
Sorry, skipping ahead
that's
in
right,
your class.
That's all right. Thank you. I mean, if you look at Copernicus and Galileo, prior to them, what did science teach that the center of the universe was?
The Earth.
The Earth, exactly right. The Earth was the center of the universe. And then we figured, well, maybe it's not. This morning, I was on the computer looking at a few things, and up popped because of the, I guess, because I've been looking at some of the articles that I could find on the computer relative to our topic today, up popped an article that Curious Kids, I think is the name of the website, where kids ask questions and scientists answer those questions. And the question this morning was, how far does the universe extend? You know, how far does space extend? And I was pleased that this individual talked about our galaxy and things beyond the galaxy, and that we've counted X number of billions of stars at this point in time. But the concluding comment was, we don't know how far it goes. You know, mentally, we don't know. We can't think about space as an infinite distance. It's not finite. It's not enclosed that we know of. Some scientists are saying if you go far enough, you're going to wrap around and come back to where you started from. And he didn't know that. But he said, there's a lot of theories, but we don't know how far it goes. Had a question here back in the, or a comment.
For instance, right now, when we were in school, we were shown that Pluto was a planet. Now they're going back and forth. Whether it's a moon, is it a planet, is it a moon, is it a planet? So they just still have no clue.
That's one of my examples in just a few minutes. Thank you. I like that. So now we know that the center of our universe at this point is the sun. But here's another one. Science at one time thought that living matter came from dead matter. And if you think, how'd they do that? Well, something would die. They would observe it. And they see these little white things start crawling around in it. And then, what was that? Maggots, yeah. And then the flies and all that sort of stuff. And so they thought that living matter came from dead matter. Not necessarily true. They thought that mice in the Middle Ages, they thought that mice and rats came from piles of dirty rags that were left disposed. They thought that flies came from dirt. You know, we now know those things aren't necessarily true, but the scientific community believed that and taught that and put policies in place to alleviate those types of things. So ultimately the question becomes is, where did all this begin? Can science explain the origin of the universe? No, it can't. There's been more than one theory about that. There's even been television series. Anybody ever watch The Big Bang Theory? A television series that made light of that whole question from time to time. But you know, the nebular hypothesis, the solar system gases, those types of things creating life and causing matter to accumulate and by chance creating the Earth and our universe. You know, that's there's really no basis of fact in those types of things. So I said, well, how old is our universe? There was a scientist named Bowden at one point in time that said, I like how exact he was. He said, the Earth is between 1,850,000,000 years old and 10 billion years old. Well, that range is about, how many billion? 8,150,000,000 years range. That's a pretty broad range. That's a pretty big target that he's looking at there. So somewhere in an 8 billion year range, that's how you, Darwin said it was 300,000 years old. Lindell, a scientist that came after Darwin, said, no, Darwin's wrong, it's 400,000 years old. Just 100,000 years off. So the Bible says, when was the earth created? What does the first verse of Genesis say? In the beginning. Yeah, that's right. That was our beginning. Exactly right. So when you think about, and this the comment that was made a few minutes ago about a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is the day that we refer to that. Well, the the earth could be a lot older than we think it is, or a lot younger than we think it is. You know, there's a lot of conversation about that. But if you think about what happened in the first chapter of Genesis, vegetation was created on the third day, right? When was the sun created? The fourth day. Could vegetation have lasted thousands of years without sunlight? The way God created it, no. And so some common sense would tell you that God created the earth just like he said it did, in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But science goes back and tries to measure the age of things. And it looks at fossils inside rock formations. And interestingly enough, it measures the age of a fossil because of the rock that it's in. And then it turns around and it says, no, we're going to measure the rock by the fossil that's in it. And so, you know, they kind of think in circles there. But there certainly are many scientific accuracies in the Bible. But so I'm going to do two things this morning. One, I'm going to look at some things that have changed through the years. And I found eight of them that I'll share with you very quickly here. And some of you mentioned them already. Science for all of my life has taught that there are four oceans. There's the Arctic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Pacific Ocean. Just in the last several months, I'm reading an article out of the Smithsonian which talks about the fifth ocean. Science has now determined that there is a fifth ocean. And it's the one around Antarctica, down at the bottom of the Earth. Science changed its mind. For years, there was a map that was used called the Mercator map that we see in textbooks for years and hanging on walls. And when you look at that, it shows Greenland as being that map. The images on that map show Greenland as being larger than Africa. What it does is it expands the size of continents when you get farther from the equator. I'm not sure why that was done. But in fact, Africa's 14 times larger than Greenland. But the scientific community was sharing something there that said, here's the landmass of these various continents. And it wasn't true. The third one was, what's the tallest mountain in the world? All of our textbooks have always told us what? Mount Everest, yes. But in reality, that's measuring from the base of the mountain to the peak of the mountain. But if you were to measure the base of the mountain to the peak of the mountain, there's a mountain on the island of Hawaii that's like 13,000 feet higher than Mount Everest. Mauna Kea, but a lot of it's underwater. But still, scientific community said tallest mountain on the Earth is Mount Everest. We come back to the Pluto example. Pluto was a planet. When I was in the eighth grade, I did my scientific project was to I drew a map of the solar system because I thought that was easier than really actually doing a scientific project of some type. So I drew a map of the solar system and put it on one of those cardboard things and set it up and hung some stuff from the top. So I had Pluto as a planet. That's right. Good job. Now we decided, no, it's not a planet. We're not sure exactly what it is. And now we're creating another category of what we call dwarf planets. But Pluto's not a planet. Although there have been some scientists in recent months, and the last year or so, they've said, no, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe it really is a planet. So, who knows whether it's a planet or not. There's a disagreement in the scientific community. You go to a scientific conference of any type, and you're going to hear these treatises, these presentations, papers are read by scientists postulating certain types of things. And one person will read something, and another person will read something, and they will be contradictory. And both of them are based in scientific fact. Going back to that first comment that we said a minute ago, science is useful to us. But scientific theories sometimes are not. You go back and look at the age of the dinosaurs. The Brontosaurus and the Triceratops were classified as two different types of dinosaurs. But now science has said, no, as it grows, the shape of the skull changes, and they're actually the same type of animal these days. In relatively recent years, history lessons have told us that the Salem witches were burned at the stake, right? No witches were ever burned at the stake in Salem. That's myth. There were several that were hanged, a couple that were stoned, but no witches got burned at the stake. And then a very recent one, just in the last few years. When I was growing up, I had to memorize the food pyramid, the things that you had to eat because of the food pyramid. But science told us just about 8 or 10 years ago that no, the food pyramid is not accurate. It needs to change. We need to have a new, what they call, food plate that has different ingredients than the food pyramid used to have. And then the final one was interesting. All my life, I heard that the only man-made object that was visible from space is what? Great Wall of China. Great Wall of China. Not true. The astronauts, for the last number of years, have said, well, I can see this bridge or this highway or this river or whatever. You know, I can see these dams. I can see the lakes that are made by man. All sorts of things that can be seen. So a lot of stuff, and here's one that's bound to get some conversation. If you go on YouTube and you enter in the search of YouTube, woman giving COVID instructions. There's a singer, a young woman from Tulsa, Oklahoma, I think, that has accumulated all of the different instructions that we have been given to stay safe from COVID. And it's a matter of like 20 of them, but they're all contradictory. You got to stay 2 feet away, 6 feet away, 10 feet away. You can touch something. No, you can't touch something. Wear a mask. No, you can't wear a mask. Get your vaccination. Don't get a vaccination. I mean, scientific community, what else have we been told in the last 2 or 3 years now about this virus that's contradictory to what we were told earlier? Can you think of things? The mask thing is one of them. The vaccination is one. Does the virus live on surface? Now they're saying, no, it doesn't. I mean, just a few minutes. You can touch something somebody else has touched, so you don't have to sanitize your doorknobs anymore. I mean, there's a whole laundry list. While it was funny, it was a little insensitive. I thought about bringing it and playing it for you, but it was a little insensitive to people who have suffered dramatically through this. But, you know, that's science. You know, for a while, there was the young man who was the head of our Surgeon General, and the woman who was head of the National Institutes for Health, and Dr. Fauci. The three of them were the people who were talking about all this and giving information out, and then it got to the point where they couldn't agree with themselves. And finally, two of them kind of got shoveled to the side a little bit, and Dr. Fauci became the spokesperson. And even stuff that he's saying contradicts other stuff that he said earlier. And I'm not being critical of him. I'm just saying that knowledge is a progressive thing, that we learn more and more about things the longer we study it. And so we've really gotten to the point where you hear something that you agree with, and that's fact. I think we need to back up and take another look at that. So the final thing that I'll share with you, and we only have just a few minutes left here, about 15 minutes left, but I want to share with you some things that I discovered. I went through the Bible, looked at some articles that I was able to find, and went through the Bible and looked at some of the things that the Bible talks about that have been discovered as scientific fact long after the Bible talked about it. And that's the second page that was in the rack at the back of the room back there. So we talked earlier about this, but Isaiah the 40th chapter and the 22nd verse talks about the circle of the earth. And that was a time when the scientific community said there is flat. But the Bible was talking about the circle of the earth. And I did not realize this one, but I had to go back and look at it. In Job, the 28th chapter, in the 5th verse, it talks about the core of the earth being hot. We had no idea when Job was living that the core of the earth was hot. That had never even entered the mind of the scientific community. In Job, the 26th chapter, in the 10th verse, Job speaks about the world being suspended over nothing. when, as I said earlier, science was teaching that it was riding on the back of a turtle or on the shoulders of Atlas. But it's talking about the earth being suspended over nothing. And then there's a series of verses. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 7, Amos 9, 6, Job 36, 27, and 28, Psalms 135 and 7. All of them talk about water running to the rivers and the rivers running to the sea and the seas not being filled up. I don't know when scientific community discovered evaporation, cloud formations, you know, but I remember when I was in school seeing a diagram of that. Ron.
I remember a basic fact, according to our science teacher, that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So the way I look at this water and the way it flows to the ocean, it changes its form as it goes, but it's always still there in some form.
Yeah, exactly. So water changes its nature. I mean, it changes characteristics. Science didn't know that until you think about modern day science. You know, you're talking about at best the last 200 years, maybe 100 years. But we had no idea prior to that that water changed its nature. But it does. And the Bible knew that in all 1, 2, 3, 4 of those verses. It talked about that. Then you have a lot of discussion around the flood. Did the flood actually happen? Well, one article I found said that the rock formations and artifacts found in the mountains of Turkey prove that the flood did actually happen. Fossils that were found on the tops of mountains. Genesis, the sixth chapter, talks about the building of the ark. Science has poo-pooed that for years. That's fiction, that's mythological. Except a group of students of physics at a European university ran calculations, said, no, you know, the ark would have actually worked. Of the known species that were prevalent on the earth at that time, you could have built a boat of that size and you could have put two of each kind, and seven of those that were good to eat, you could have put them in the ark. And they would have fit. And the ark would have floated. You know, I'm not a physics student, so I can't vouch for that. But at least one part of the scientific community said, you know, that could work. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, the 22nd verse, talks about the countless stars in the sky. And they are countless. Little article I was reading today, this morning early, talked literally about billions of stars and how that number increases as we begin to map the universe, and that we can't see at certain levels into certain levels of the universe, so we don't know what's out there. So countless as stars in the sky. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 41st verse, talks about the star's magnitude, the size, which tells us that some stars are bigger than others. And so you start looking at, well, you know, the sun's huge, but the sun's just kind of an average-sized star compared to what science has now been able to say. Well, what about that one? What about that one? What size is it? Looking at the brightness and the distance. And in some cases, in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 25th verse, it talks about heavens and earth will pass away. And now we've discovered stars don't last forever. They burn out. They do pass away. Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, talks about the universe being made of invisible particles. They didn't know about atoms and molecules then. Science didn't know that. But the Bible did. The invisible, we don't see atoms, we don't see molecules. I mean, this sheet of paper is made up of molecules. You don't see them individually, you see the sheet of paper. But unless you do some in-depth research, you don't know what it's made up of, if it's the first time you've ever seen it. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, the story of David and Goliath. People have said there's no way that a small boy could have killed a giant like that. But researchers have gone to the valley of Elah, and they have found that the stones that they find in the beds of the creeks in the valley of Elah are made up of barium, which is probably one of the most dense rock formations on the face of the earth. Now, does that make it more reasonable, more possible, that a slingshot with a barium stone in it could have hit Goliath in the forehead and killed him? Makes it a little more reasonable. In Psalms 104th chapter, in the 6th verse, waters stood above the mountains. It's talking about, again, the flood there. Not at the time the flood happened, but centuries later. And one I found very interesting, Joshua the 10th chapter in the 12th verse, where the story about the sun standing still. And one article I read said that science can now go back and map the relationship of the sun and the relation and the moon and the earth and look at their rotation. And they can see that on October the 30th in 1207 B.C., before Christ, there was an eclipse. Is that what they're talking about when Joshua said the sun stood still? I don't know. But it's reasonable. Leviticus, the 17th chapter, in the 11th verse, talks about life being in the blood. Science didn't know that. They didn't know what was in the blood at that particular point in time. But we've discovered since then that blood is your life. That's how the nutrients are carried throughout the body. Yes, Ron.
Instead of preserving the blood.
Yeah. You know, science for years, if you got sick, what would they put on you?
Leech.
A leech to suck the bad blood out of you. One, the blood that was the issue. And then a final one, Leviticus, the 13th chapter, first 5 verses there. It talks about if a person is ill, isolate them for 7 days. And if they don't get better, isolate them again for another 7 days. In the last few months, what have we talked about with respect to COVID?
5 days.
Well, at first it was 10 days, now it's 5 days, where China has changed its mind again. But again, the value of isolating people when they're ill, putting them into quarantine. I mean, that's not brand new. I mean, we've had that with smallpox, and we've had that with leprosy, and we had that with a variety of other diseases through the years. But where's the science didn't know it, but the origin of that is Leviticus. Sure, right?
Have you heard of the molecular structure now of water? Instead of being H2O, it's HOH, hydrogen hydroxide.
No, I haven't.
It's the way that you display it, you know. H2O has always been the thing. But I've heard more recently that it's one atom of H2O, one atom of hydrogen and oxygen making a mixture with another atom of oxygen.
Okay.
So they play around with it.
Yeah, yeah. How many of you have ever seen the periodic table? Science classes? How many elements were on it when you saw it? I think there were 97 on it when I was a high school student. You know how many there are now? 118. Now, I have a little pin that I was given by the director of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, Thomas Zacharias. When in Oak Ridge, we were celebrating the fact that the Oak Ridge National Laboratory had just discovered the 117th element, and they named it Tennessine. I don't know what it is or what it does, but we continue to discover new things. So the point is, as we do that, and I guess this kind of summarizes it, and we're out of time, but we may have a chance for a comment or two if you have them. But the point is that there's not necessarily conflict between the Bible and science. It's a conflict between the Bible and scientific theory. And as we move forward in our history, that theory evolves, that theory changes. And occasionally, you'll find that the theory will change in support of something that you have seen and read and heard about in the Bible that people have thought, that's mythical, that's not true, and now we find, it is true. And so, point we're making in our lesson today, and pick these things up. I didn't have time to read all those scriptures that I have on that second page, but take a look at them. When you get home, read them, see what you think about them. I found it very interesting in looking at a lot of these concepts, because you hear all the time in our media proclaims. It says negative things about Christians and biblical messages and biblical content. But as we go forward, everything we're discovering, you can go back and say, no, that's true. Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to this new telescope, they just put out there, because what we see is the past. Because of the light, it takes so light to get here. So we really don't know what's out there. But this new telescope is supposed to reach further. But I think that's not far enough. But I'm glad to, see there. It's going to bring a lot of stuff to light.
That's exactly right. Because of the speed of light, some of the stars that you're seeing in the sky at night are no longer there. It's just taken that long for the light to get to the Earth. That's an amazing thought when you think about how vast this universe is that God's created.
But at the same token, you can read through the Bible, and you can study it, and you will find that at different times in your life, and that you've read that scripture over and over and over again, and it will mean something to you different than when you first read it.
Yeah. Has a lot to do with our maturity, I think, and where we are in our life and what we've experienced. Jeff Hedick.
I think science has probably found more things in the last 30, 50 years than the entire history of mankind, and it's moving really fast. And we'll see more things now with the scientific data that's coming out in a very fast pace. Having said that, it's always annoyed me that scientists will come out, especially when you're talking about the creation, and they come out with their different theories or hypotheses, and they project it like it's the truth. When you know that, like, they don't have much to stand on, they just come out with a theory or a hypothesis, but they project it as it's fact and it's truth, compared to what we read and all the evidence in the Bible.
Yes. Yeah, I think the way that is communicated to us, and it's taught in our schools. The way that's taught in our schools to our children, this is fact. I mean, this doesn't even get into social sciences. I mean, you get into social sciences, you can get some really strange messages that were taught 100 years ago versus what's taught today. That's physical sciences, on the other hand, there is some similarity, but still there are changes that are occurring as we discover various things that happen in our world. And I think they'll continue to do that. We don't know those things yet. We still have theories. Yes, Richard.
And all that we've talked about are still all within the context of when Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you. All right, thank you very much.